Good morning. We have a new song that I guess Johnny introduced it to us a while back, and I found the actual video to this song, and it's by the Newsboys. Some of you know them. It's a contemporary singing group that is Christian, and they sing a song, "It Is You," and I would like to introduce that song to you today. So if you will stand, and we will start the song right now. Let's sing unto the Lord.
As we lift up our hands, will you meet us here? As we call on your name, will you meet us here? We have come to this place.
Lord, it is you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is you, O Lord, we call upon. It is you, O Lord, we adore. You are worthy of all our praise. You are worthy of all that we have inside. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Lord, I pray for this time, Lord, that we can give it unto you. That, O Lord, that you will help us, O God, to honor you. And as you come, Lord, and sit here, that you will accept our praise and accept worship. Our worship.
We thank
I pray
you.
This in your mighty name. And everyone said amen. Let's sing unto the Lord.
I don't hear anything on the... it's hardly nothing here. I wrote this song, He Deserves All the Glory. Just not part of it or some of it, but all, total commitment. Praise you, Jesus, all. He wants all or nothing. I still don't hear. Oh, it could be the chord. There. Now. Can you hear?
Somebody stand to your feet and praise the Lord. Let's get ready to worship Jesus in one accord. Reach out and touch Him.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You know what a friend we have in Jesus? I love that song, but there's another one. I am a friend of God. When you get discouraged and you look around and things maybe aren't going like you want them to, you better know that you're a friend of God and that God never puts those to shame that trust Him. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah.
Love.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're our
thank
friend.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, amazing grace.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Draw me close to you. My heart.
Help us to praise you. Praise you at all times. In all times, give him thanks. Give him thanks. We thank you, Lord. You are God, and we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We praise you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you do. For your love and your compassion toward all of us, O God. We would be nothing without you. Life would be nothing without you. Why live if we don't have you with us? God, I do pray. I do honor and glorify you, Lord. And I thank you for all that you do. I thank you for the answers and prayer, God, that you give. For without you, Lord, nothing is impossible. With you, Lord, everything's possible. So I leave it into your hands, O Lord. Even with this world that we're living in and such the chaotic distress that is upon us, O God, you are able to deliver us. You are able to deliver our government. You are able to take us, Lord, in realms that we didn't even think were possible. You are able to help our government. You are able to help our governors, Lord Jesus, our senators, our assemblymen. Lord, you are able to help our president. Lord, and I pray, God, that they will acknowledge you and that they will accept your guidance, I pray. Be with our soldiers here and abroad, Lord. Overshadow them with your presence and your love. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. God is good. All the time. God is good. Well, I had a young lady that called me the first of the week, totally stressed out. And she said, if she passed the test, she was going to do a Jericho march. I really believe God is honoring her because she's going to get up and testify. What God has done for her and what God is going to do for her. He hasn't stopped. Patricia. right? He works it out for His glory, and He did. So I truly believe that you know, that this is of God. And see, just think of the testimony that you will have on that bus with those kids. When they go, young people go through a lot of struggles. You know, a lot of things happen to young people that we as adults, you know, you went through it, but you've forgotten it. Because you really don't want to think back of those days, you know. Some of the things that you went through in your young days, you know. And reality is, we are not bombarded with some of the things that are being hit in the kids today. We didn't have a lot of things that, you know, that went on back in our day that's going on today. Sin is rampant today. You know, I know it's sin is sin, and I know we had it back in then, but we didn't approach it then the way it's being approached today. You know, it's being approached as being okay today. Back in our day, it was never approached as being, some of the things that they're doing today was never approached back in our day as being okay. So there are things going on in our society, in our world today that it's a life-changing attitude that's hitting our young people, you know. And so I pray for them on a daily basis for them to maintain their faith in God. And if they don't have it, that someone somewhere will lead them to understand that faith. You know, we're all they got. You understand, if they die and they don't know the Lord, they go to eternity. They go to eternity, but it's not the eternity they expect. A lot of people, when we talk about suicide, and I deal with suicide even with our older people a lot, you know, they think it's just so much easier just to end it. I don't want to be any more pain, so on and so forth. They don't understand. If they don't know the Lord, I went Friday night. I was called in Thursday night. Yeah, it was Thursday night. I was called in at 9 o'clock to go see someone, okay? And I'm not on call, but when it comes to, if somebody calls me and wants me to go out and see someone, I'm going to do that because I'm their last hope. You know, God's their last hope. But it's only through, you know, someone witnessing to them, someone trying. So I walk into the house, and I'm there, and I introduce myself, and I'm sitting down, and this person's transitioning. And the wife kind of looked at me and says, "Well, I don't want to be rude, but we are not religious. We don't want anything to do with religion or God. And I think he would feel really hurt if you would to talk to him." I have to honor that, but my heart sunk into a deep hole. You know, and when I walked out that door, I prayed in my spirit for them. You know, he passed that morning. And he passed into eternity of not knowing God. Does that hurt? That hurts me. You know, but I can only do what they allow. I can pray under my breath for them. But I cannot open my mouth and try to lead them. That was his last hope. I think I was sent there for that last hope. But they have to accept it. And by not accepting it, here was a soul sent to eternity without knowing God. Now, this is a sobering point for all of us to think. If you had that opportunity, you missed it. You had an opportunity. Now, I know I didn't miss the opportunity. I had the opportunity, but it had to be accepted. We all have opportunities to meet with people, okay? But if they don't want it, you know, it's okay. You walked in. I could have said, "No, I don't want to go see that person." And I would have been at fault. But by the door opening, I walk in that door. It still has to be accepted. Okay? Like people going to eternity by suicide. Young and old. And suicide is hitting young people quite regularly right now because they figure that that's an easy way out. And I'm not, that is not even part of my message, and I'm sorry, but I felt that, you know, I just want us all. We're a small church. but we can make a big impact. Okay? We're a small church, but you can make a big impact. You make that impact by how you react to things that go on in this world. You know? And if that door opens, somebody calls you in need, you've got to walk in that door and you got to help. Because if you say no, or you're self-centered in yourself and you don't want to help, or you think, I don't have the ability, and that door shuts on you, you become responsible. But what do you mean, Pastor? I mean exactly what I'm saying. There will be lots of doors open for you as Christians to walk into that door to help someone in need. And if you're not like the Samaritan that was on that road and the Gentile that came by, he wasn't, you know, this was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Christian. But he saw the need. And he grabbed that man that was destitute, hurt, could have died. Two others, a priest and a rabbi, passed by. Religious people passed by. Oh, I'll pray for him. Well, that's good to pray for him. But the door is wide open for you to go to help him. So anyway, that's it. Just wanted to let you know that. Things are taking place. The summer is coming. Next week's going to be 80 degrees, people, so get ready for it. We are going to plan something for a spring thing, something in probably June, to get together and have a banquet at the house, a time to invite. I'm already looking at it and starting to call upon people, invite people for that event. So remember that, this is something coming forth. So. Tides are really low this month. Please, Krista, please come forward. I love my granddaughter. She is so sweet, and she's so cute. So I'd like for you to remember what our tides are, what we need, and just that's all I can ask. Do your very best, and God will honor you for it. Heavenly Father, I pray this day, Lord, that you just have your way. That you be glorified, O Lord, in your mighty name. I pray for those, O Lord, that are here, O God, and that they give to you, Lord, not expecting anything. But, God, I do know, Lord, how you honor those that give. You honor them with blessing them tenfold, fiftyfold, a hundredfold. I pray and thank you for that blessing. Thank you for what you do in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm starting a little early. I can get you guys out a little early, or I can just preach longer. Turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11, going back into faith, understanding that faith is what gets us through our daily walk with God, is our faith in Him. So if we take a look at that and we take a look at Hebrews, I like the book of Hebrews. I also like the chapters in Hebrews that talks about faith. Sometimes we need a little help with our faith, right? A little building of our faith, you know. And so if we take a look and we read verses 1 through 6, and I believe it's on the screen, but if you follow along with me, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made by the things which were visible. By faith Abel offered to God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to diligently seek you. Help us to increase our faith in you. Help us to love you more than we love our own life itself. Help us, O God, to listen to what you want. In your mighty name, amen. Now, as I read the Word of God, I am amazed at the thought that God wants things from you and I. He wants things from us. To think the infinite God desires something from us is amazing. So today, in my studies last night, I came up with some thought patterns, and I'd like to look at what God wants from us. Things that God wants from us. Are you ready to find out what? See, we've always figured out what we can do for God and what God can do for us. But we need to also realize that as we walk this Christian walk and we have this faith, that God wants things from you. Amen? So I believe the very first thing that God wants from you and I is your heart. Right? Hebrews 10:22. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today, so follow along with me. It will be up on the screen, but you can look it in your Bible, and if it's something that you like, I always underline it. Anything I like, I highlight. I like, I highlight. So this one I like. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God wants us to give him the very essence of our life. Now that one I'd underline. Because God wants your heart. The problem with many of us today is the problem of Israel long ago. They knew how to give God lip service, but did not know how to give God their very best. Their all in all. And that's so true today. God wants more than lip service. He wants us to give him our very best. The heart is the center of our emotions. So to serve God, we must do it with feeling and passion. You know what? I get so tired of churches saying that you're not to live by feelings. You know, all this crying stuff, all this feeling stuff, that's not of God, that's just you. Well, God created emotions. God created feelings. And when I feel God, I feel his presence. Does it make me feel good? Yes. Does it uplift my spirit? Yes. I could be down and out, and the Holy Spirit come in, and by the presence of God, oh my goodness, I could be driving down the road and I feel like I'm in heaven. Luckily, God's take control of the car. Or we'd have other problems. Now, like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. That is so, so very true in many, many instances of our lives. God needs to take the wheel. Hallelujah. God needs to take control. Hallelujah. God needs to take your heart, because there's so many of you that do not want to give up your heart. You'll give him lip service, but you won't give him your best. You'll give him second best because you think that's okay, But he doesn't want second best. God wants all of you, or there's another word, or none of you. Revelation gives a great example of that when he says, I'd much rather you be hot on fire for me or cold, don't even know me. But if you're lukewarm, are you hearing me? If you're lukewarm, if you think you can sit in church and get by, he says, you can sit in church and get by, but I'm spewing you out of my mouth. Woo, are you listening to me? If you think you can sit and get by, you know what that word spew? Take the word Greek to it. It's a very horrible word. How many of you have ever gotten sick? How many of you have had one of those attacks where it doesn't want to stay in your stomach and it comes out? How does that feel? Huh? It doesn't feel too good, does it? That's what God is trying to explain to you. That's his disgust and those lukewarm Christians. People think heaven's going to be a large place and opening and making heaven larger. I think heaven's not, you know. I mean, I'm trying to be positive to you, but I'm also trying to wake you up. I want to wake the young people up. Because young people, if you are stay lukewarm in God, I guarantee you, you're going to feel that throw-up experience. You're going to feel it in the taste of your mouth because God is disgusted with you. I said that? God wants you on fire for him. We are living in the last days. I talked to a couple on Friday and spent over an hour with them talking on the Bema Seat judgment versus the judgment seat of God. And he was thinking, I am not, this was a very, very bad person in his life. Okay? He knew a lot of mafia. He was part of the mafia. He was a boxer, a very strong person in his day. Been to prison. He says, I'm not fit for God. Understand, he was saved. Okay? Gave his heart to the Lord. But I'm not fit. Where I'm going to stand, I'll stand on the pearly gates and fight back Satan for all those that shouldn't be up here. I laughed, but I explained to him because he didn't understand Bema Seat judgment. He says, you know, I understand salvation, but I also understand I'm going to be judged. And he thought he was going to be judged for all his bad stuff. And I said, come on. Let me take you. Who lives in you today? Let me ask you that this morning. Who lives in you today? Jesus. Come. Is it that so sorrowful that you can't say his name? Who lives in you today? Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it as you mean it. Jesus lives in you today. And I said that to him. Who lives in you? Jesus. My goodness. Let me ask you another question. Is Jesus worthy of heaven? Oh, my goodness, yes. Who lives in you again? Jesus. Well, then if that Jesus that lives in you is deserving of heaven and deserving of all the glory that heaven has got for you, I guarantee you, you don't deserve it. But the Jesus that lives in you does deserve it. So when you walk up to the heaven's door, you're not walking up there in your flesh. You're walking up there in the spirit with Jesus. Hallelujah. You are accepted because of Jesus, not because of anything you did. He got it. Then we talked about the seven crowns. He said, golly, do you have to go, Pastor? There's no church here. We just got here in February. There's no church. I can't go. I'm sick. I COPD. I can't even get out of bed hardly. So I said, you know, I'm upping my visits so that I can encourage this person. He could hardly talk. But I'm leading him to the path of glory. God wants our heart, people. He wants all of you or none of you. Some of us only want to reverence God, but God wants more than reverence. He wants to tap deep into the very essence of who we are. He wants to tap into your hearts. He wants all of you or none of you. So you say, God, what does God want? God wants your heart. That's just the first thing he wants. Do you know something else he wants? He wants your faith. He wants your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How many of you received my little text last night? I need to know, because if they're coming, good. Please. Patricia, did you receive it? Okay, I'm okay. I've had some people that I sent out about 30 texts, 30 different people. And I never know if they've got them, they haven't got them. So I just need to know. In part of that text, I put some of these scriptures that I'm doing today in. And I put in the very last part of my little text that says, faith and works go together. Just to enlighten you to understand that, yes, there are people that have faith but have no works. There are people that have works but have no faith. Faith and works work together. And if we can get that realm and that thought pattern, we're going to move mountains. We're going to move mountains. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to step into the realm of the unknown. God wants you to step into the realm of the unknown. To believe he can do anything. That nothing is really impossible for him. This goes against reason. This goes against intelligent being. This goes against your mind. It goes against everything you've ever been taught. To believe that God can do some of the things that are impossible to do. Last week I talked on Mission Impossible. There are things that God wants to do in your life that is impossible for you to even think. This is impossible. It cannot happen. And God is saying, with me, all things are possible. Yes, it can happen. But it takes faith to believe it can happen. I've been reading, when I'm in my car, I bought the New Testament on tape. It's a new version of it. And it's got so much drama in it, so much action in it. I'm enthralled with it. I've already gone through the whole New Testament once, and I'm on the second time. Of course, I am in my car an awful lot, as you can tell. Friday, it was 105 miles I drove. So I'm in my car a lot. So I get to listen to the Bible a lot, and I am blessed beyond means of blessed because of that. So do I thank God? Tremendously, I thank God. But let me tell you, in reading the Gospels, just the four Gospels, and going over them over and over again, in the four Gospels, when and how did God perform his miracles? He performed it by faith. He went to those, and he did ask everyone, it's by your faith you are healed. How many of you stick mud on your eyes and then tell them to go? First of all, how many of us today would allow anybody to stick mud in your eyes or stick your finger in your mouth? Not too many people are going to allow that today, because that's an impossibility. Don't touch me at all. He would do things that were unreasonable. He would do things that were, whoa, don't do that to me. But he would do them to prove that I can do the things that aren't quite intelligently right to you. To prove to you that what I can do is impossible to you, but possible for me. He does these things to prove that that what little faith they have, all it takes is a little faith. Now, they could have said, you're not touching my tongue. Of course, the guy that was saying couldn't say that anyway because he couldn't talk, you know. But he could have bit his finger. I never thought of that. Yeah, he could have done a lot of things. But he didn't. It was the faith to believe this was the master. This was the master. What about that woman with the issue of blood? What about her? Just let me touch the hem of his garment. Just the hem. I don't even want to hear his words. I just need to touch his garment. Oh my goodness, is that faith? We don't have faith today. We have glorious churches today. Let me go on. Until we operate in faith, God cannot pour out his blessings upon us. He doesn't operate in the natural realm, but in the supernatural realm. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And he has so much for you and I. So much for you and I. And we just have not touched into what God can do. I'm afraid that today's world and today's society, we have a hard time believing in faith. Because we can do it ourselves. And the technology world today has gone to the point where we're doing everything. We're doing it all, you know? So, but they don't recognize God. I mean, I'm telling you what's going on in our world today. We're a faithless generation. When I got saved, oh my goodness, I got saved. It was no ifs, ands, buts about it. The Lord saved this old wretched sinner from hell. Okay? I lost both parents at 18 years old. I could have been a whole lot different than I am. Okay? It was only through the grace of God that I am who I am today. Because I could have been gone down a lot rougher, deeper, darker road with not having... You know, I could have blamed, and I'm not going to tell you I didn't blame God for a while. I lost two parents in 1 week. I became an orphan in 1 week at the age of 18. Just graduated from high school. Kids, do you guys figure that out? Here you guys have graduated a year. How would it be if you lost both parents in 1 week and not have anyone? Do you understand? You need to really understand that. It's through the grace of God that God does what he does. It was through faith. Faith. And I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle of what God has done just in my life by faith. By faith. I had Air Force personnel telling me, Jerry, what general do you know? Because I had things, God just gave me things just right out of the blue. You know, I was stationed in Puerto Rico. First of all, this is the height of the Vietnam War. This is not in my notes. This is me just talking to you. Faith. Faith. If I could do anything to build your faith up, it'll build my faith up. Do you want to know what faith did for me? Faith did for me more than it did for anybody else, I believe. I could have been in Vietnam. 68, 69, and 70 was the height of Vietnam. I was a C-130 aircraft mechanic. A C-130 is the Hercules of Vietnam. It could fly off a flight field in less than a football field. Sharon saw one go off of an aircraft carrier. That was a C-130. That means it can take off in less than 150 feet. It can drop down and land in a football field. That's the C-130. Jettison assists on it. You open all the side doors, and we can throw out gunship. It was considered a full gunship, you know, and it did things that were they thought were impossible. This is the C-130 aircraft, and I'll tell you, God saw fit to send me to Puerto Rico instead of Vietnam. While I'm in Puerto Rico, I built my faith up. I helped build a church. an Assemblies of God church outside in Aguadilla, a Spanish church. I helped build a brand new building. Their building that they were in was a size not even that big. I think it was the size of a bedroom. We had church in the size of a bedroom, but it was great. They had a property on the hill right outside the base. We built the church, built it right from ground up. Okay, while I was there, I started praying to God. Said, God, I want to, you know, be next to my fiance. God saw fit for me to have a TDY to Sacramento. TDY is a temporary change of duty, and I was in Sacramento. 3 months in Sacramento, God had blessed us. Blessed Sharon and I both, okay? We got married. That's another miracle. We won't go through that miracle. We got married and got stationed in Sacramento, came back. I had my last TDY was scheduled to go back to California, and they had changed up and wasn't going to send me back to California because my hair was too long. I walked into the colonel's office and said, Colonel, what's wrong? Didn't I serve a good enough job while I was there? He said, Jerry, you were the best person there. Because what I did was graveyard working for the command post, and I had to brief the generals every morning. He said, you did great. The biggest problem we had with you was your hair. The generals felt that your hair was too long and you had a little bit of rebellion in you. Dan doesn't know anything about rebellion, you know, in the military. I think that's all us military people can be rebellious at times, but as Dan shakes his head, yeah. But I looked at him and said, Colonel, I'll leave this up to you. But my witness to my God and above is I always did my job correctly. Maybe I had my hair a little long. Maybe my clothes weren't fit. You know, they weren't pressed out. And my shoes weren't shined. But you can't deny that I didn't do the best job that you had anybody there. And he said, you're right, Jerry. He said, you call him back and you ask him again. And refer to what I just said. And if I go back there, I'll give them the same 100% than what I've given. But I will cut my hair better and keep my stuff pressed a little bit better if that's what they want. He called me back in. And by this, I understand by this time was taking place, I'd already made arrangements for Sharon to move. I already bought a house, or rented a house, excuse me, off base, rented a house off base. Already bought a car, got everything ready. Everything's ready for Sharon to move to Puerto Rico, which she was going to do. He brings me back in. He said, Jerry, we're sending you back for another 3-month tour. Now, our hangars were about 10 times bigger than this. We housed like 3 or 4 C-130s inside there, and that was our working area. I walked out of his office on the top praising the Lord all the way across that hangar. All my compadres and my other guys in there thought I was henpecked to the general. And I said, no, I am henpecked, and I am a brown noser, but it's not to that general. I brown nose God an awful lot, and I have God on my side. It says, now, I will tell you guys, this is the exact same as the thing as I'm telling him. You have faith in God, God will move mountains for you. He moved mountains for me. Now, that's just the first part of this story. The second part was I had 1 week to go. I had 1 week to sell my car, sell all the furniture, and get the house rented out because I had a lease on the house, and get the house rented.
Can I tell what was going on? What was probably going on in
back then. There's a lot of turmoil.
A lot of turmoil in Puerto Rico at that time. And that probably not very many normal, but they didn't want to be part of the United States. And there was a turmoil going on. And I guess the Lord did that, and my mom was worried. She was saying that God would keep me out of that situation of the
In 1 week, I sold the car and made a profit. I sold the furniture, didn't make a profit, and rented the house and was on a plane. Somebody to rent it back out and was on the plane back into California. That's God. And that's just another. One other miracle was when my 3 month stay was over with. Okay. I'm trying to tell you what faith can do. You got to have faith. And if you have faith, God said he will move mountains for you. Okay? If you have faith in me, I will move mountains. And some of this stuff my kids not even heard. We're in Sacramento, TDY there, and we're in a church helping a church. Brother Boswell, we were the youth, helping with the youth in the church at nights. And still doing my work. It was a night shift. But God was blessing. God was, oh my goodness, was he working some great things out. Well, I got my orders. Because I wasn't going back to Puerto Rico. I'd already been there 3 years. So I got my orders. My orders were to go to South Carolina. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm here. Charleston Air Force Base. What is that, South or North? Whatever it was. You know, it was Charleston Air Force Base in Carolina. So I got my orders. I called in and says, isn't there something we can do? They need help here in California. You know, McClellan Air Force Base is willing to keep me. Well, I don't know. So I went to the chaplain on base and talked to the chaplain. Well, son, sergeant, God is leading you in his direction. So you have your orders. I don't think you should, you know, cause any waves. I think you should just go with the tide and let them lead you where you're going. And I walked out the door and says, I ain't doing that. Lord, help me. I don't want to go. I've already gone one place where I didn't want to go, but you were gracious to me. But this time I'm asking a big one, Lord. I want to stay in Sacramento. God, work it out. Now, these weren't just, they're telling me where, these were orders already set in clan. You can't do this. You can't change your orders. So, my pastor and I prayed. He called Randolph Air Force Base for me and told Randolph Air Force Base, here, he's my youth director. He's working great. And by the way, they need help in McClellan Air Force Base. He'd like to stay at McClellan. What can you guys do? And they said, they thought about it a second, and they said, let us see what we can do. And a week later, my orders were changed from Charleston Air Force Base to McClellan Air Force Base. And everybody around me, including the generals, would say, how'd you do that, Jerry? Of course, it wasn't Jerry. It was, how did you do that, Sergeant? And I said, well, that's how I did it. And I always gave God the glory. Faith. Now, I could have accepted what they wanted and went to Carolina. I could have done that. But I had faith to move a mountain, and God could move it for me, I said. That's the faith you need. That's the faith you need. And as you grow older, sometimes it takes a little bit more because God relies on you more, you know. But it's still faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. Faith is a realm that separates us from the world that operates by reason. The world operates by reason. God's realm is doing the impossible things in life that reason says is impossible. God says it's possible because all things are possible with God. Number three, and I'm going to finish that, and I've got four or five more to go, but we're going to do them next week. Number three, God wants our trust. That's a trust issue. He wants to trust you. And when there is a trust issue and you have trusted God, that means you've shown that he can't trust you. It takes a little while for him to gain his trust. It's just the same way with our walk in life. If my kids tell me they're going to do something and they don't do it, What do? I lose my trust in them. What do they have to do to gain my trust? It takes a while to gain it back. It's not overnight, because they have to prove themselves back that they can do what they say they can do. Well, here's what God says. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." I love that. He shall direct your paths. Not only does he want our faith to be that he can do anything, but that we trust him more than we trust anything else. Trust. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. To believe that God has your best interest in mind. Even when you are going through some valleys or some trials, you believe that everything is going to work out because you trust in the Lord. That's what God is saying. And I will say, sometimes we're going to go through a trial. Sometimes you're going to go through a test. God tests no one, but sometimes he allows the devil to test you or tempt you. Okay? So you are going to go through these things. You're going to go through these things. And yes, God will test us to see where our faith is, to see how our trust is. The devil's going to tempt you like he tempted you. See, you're not beyond temptation. Was Jesus beyond temptation? Right after he was baptized in water, as soon as he came out, and God said, "This is my beloved Son and who I love dearly." Okay? The dove has descended as the Holy Spirit upon him. And at that point, he was led away. It says, in the spirit, he was led away to be tempted by the devil. 40 days. Okay? So yes, he was tempted. 3 times. And then at the end of the 3rd time, it said that the devil went away for a while. What does that tell you and I? Right. So what is that telling you and I? That we will go through temptations. And it's only how we react to those temptations that will lead us to the next walk in God. God wants you to always abide in him. Always trust in him. Always put your trust in the Lord. And I want to close this morning with us to say this together. Next week, I'm going to talk about love, praise, you know, surrender, destiny. Okay? Those are 4 more wonderful ones. These are things that God wants from you and I, things he wants from me. You know what? I tell everybody, you're the sum total of the choices you make in life. Each one of these things are what God is expecting out of you and I. Each one of these he expects. He wants from you and I. You never think that God wants from us? He does. He wants our love. He wants our heart. He wants our trust. So repeat this with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. God wants us to give him control of our lives. Give him control. If he has control, he will lead you down the path that you need to go. If he has control, he can talk to you. If he has control, he will see to it that even if you are tempted, you will make it. Even though I go through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Because who? Because God is with me. He's with you. So as long as God is with you, no matter what you go through, He's with you. I had to explain that to that man. You know, I finalized this with him. I said, you know, God loves you. And you know that, right? And he said, yes. God loves you. And because of that love that he has for you, and you have led a not so good life. He said, Jerry, say it the way it is. Now, okay, you've lived a horrible life. Thank you, Jerry. This guy had been in prison. This guy wasn't, he's a murderer. Okay, worked with the mafia as their assassin. Do you think I could know somebody like that, right? You know, when I go around and say, I don't want an assassin, so you better be nice to me. But he had people coming to him saying, I want you to take this guy out. I want you to take that guy out. Because they knew him. They knew him. Okay? He had sheriffs come to him and say, I'll get you off of this if you take this guy out. These are things that he knew. Okay? But I said, you know what? Here's the bottom of the line. You lived a horrible life, but you asked God into your heart. Yes. He lives inside you. Yes. You're going. All that you have done is now gone. He is, understand people, you are your worst enemy. It's so easy for God to forgive, but very difficult for you to forgive yourself. Because the devil brings back your memories. The devil brings back all those horrible things. And I had to reiterate to him over and over and over again. It's covered under the blood. Okay? Do you understand that it's covered in the sea of forgetfulness? That means if it's covered, it can't be brought back. The only way that you can bring it back is by your mind bringing it back. And the devil telling you're no good. Well, I'm just no good to make it to heaven. I'll be at the pearly gates. That's where I'll be. I said, no, you won't. Yeah, that's what he was saying. I'm going to be the bouncer. If they're not equipped to make it, I'm there to stop them. And I laughed with him on that, but I said, that's not the way it's going to happen. The way it's going to happen, when you leave this world, because he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. COPD has taken him. You know, he can hardly breathe. So it is. He had to go to his family and let his family know, you know, that I'm declining. I'm going to die. He's realized that. He understands that. But I think the guilt now is coming back. The devil is bringing the guilt back into him to tell him he's not worthy. And I reiterate it over and over and over. That's, you know why I love my job? I love my job for that one person. Because if I can get that one person to realize he's worthy because of Jesus and make him realize I am worthy. I am worthy. And who knows, God could heal him. I really believe right now he doesn't have the faith to believe that God can heal him because of all his past is creeping back into him. You know? So, by all means, I want to continue to talk with him. I have another, you know, and you guys have met Diana Zane. I can say her name because she's been to church. Diana Zane has come so far. This lady's been with us a year and a half. Understand, she could die at any day. That's the way her disease process is. But God has keeping her alive. And she realized it 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, when I went out of, because I see her weekly, and I hope I'm okay saying this, but I see her weekly, And I said, my dear, right before I left, I said, my dear, in tears, I don't want you to go because I want to see you weekly. Maybe I'm a little jealous, but I'm praying God keep you for me. And I walked out the door. She cried that whole week. She told me the next week, he said, no one has ever told me that they want me to live. I've been told by so many people they want me to die, just to quit. You're the first one through God told me that you want me to live. She was like a different person that Friday. And then she came to church on Easter. She cried through the whole church service, on Easter service. She said when Rhonda, she loved everybody's music. She wants your song on Forgiven so she can read the words. But she said when Rhonda was singing, it was like Rhonda was looking directly at her the whole song. And it just pierced her heart, she said. It was such wonderful, wonderful. See, this is what we're doing. People like that. People, what we're making a difference. You, young people, you make a difference to people around you. The young lady you're talking with, Krista, you make a difference in her life. You do. You might not think it, but you do. We make a difference in the people we encounter. Keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. And God will see you through. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. I'm sorry if I got a little emotional today, but I do believe God still has something for this church. He does. Stand with me. Sharon closes in prayer.